He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this, such a time. Remember that what God initiates, He will complete it. He who began a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Some of you need to repent and get right back on that right track. Some of you just need to hold the line. Some of you need to stop letting fear and anxiety and worry and doubt control your every decision. Start living as if God Almighty sits on the throne, because He still does, the last time I checked.
Thank you for joining us here at Westside Christian Fellowship, located in Leona Valley, California, 1 hour north of Los Angeles. Today's message on regaining lost ground is titled, The Day the Devil Almost Won, and is a strong encouragement to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, relying on God's promises that He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Join us for this heart-stirring sermon from Pastor Shane as he sincerely conveys the long-suffering nature of Christ towards us, that God does not will for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Hello, this is Pastor Shane Eidelman with Westside Christian Fellowship. We are excited to announce the return of our Saturday night church services to Lancaster Stadium every Saturday this summer at 6:45 p.m. beginning June 12th and running through the month of August. The only exception is June 26th. There will be powerful worship along with life-changing messages. And if you need prayer, motivation, hope, and encouragement, I hope to see you every Saturday this summer beginning June 12th at 6:45 p.m. at Lancaster Stadium.
Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship. For more information, visit us online at westsidechristianfellowship.org. We also encourage you to hear more truth with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. And please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. And now, from Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
So there's self-created storms. Now, if that's you, what has to happen is repentance needs to take place. I have created this storm. I have created this problem. I own up to it. That's how you get back into the center and will of God. That's how you begin to experience peace and joy again. That's how you start to get discernment and wisdom again. That's how you start to want to be at church, want to be at the worship nights or worship mornings, or whatever it is. It's that repentance of getting back on the right path. That's what repentance is. I'm on the wrong path. I'm going to stay on the wrong path, or I'm going to repent and get back on the right path. And then many times that storm is eased. The storm is calmed, or at least you can see, but now I can see my way through. Now I can see my way through. I'm back on the right path. That's different than a natural or a spiritual storm, I should say. You're doing nothing and all hell is breaking loose. Have you ever been there? Just me? I'll raise up two hands. That is where these need to be applied even more so. It's not about a matter of repentance. It's a matter of holding on and refocusing your faith back on God. So that's what you have to discern. What is causing the storm I'm in? Because one of the hardest parts about pastoring, I've shared a couple of other things, but one of them is seeing clear as day that they created this storm, yet they're unrepentant and they're still in the storm wondering how to get out of the storm. But they don't see, they caused the storm. Your attitude, your actions, your attitude, your choices caused the storm. No, I don't think so. Well, it did. No. They did it. My spouse did it. My kids did it. And they're caught in that blame and not taking responsibility. We are so good at making excuses. And why it's the other person's fault. Not saying that's not the case many times, but we can stay stuck in a storm. Stuck in a storm when all you have to do is repent. Say, God, I've created this. My attitude's been wrong. I'm prideful. I caused this. I own it. God, would you please help me? And then although you might be in the storm, now you're positioned correctly. And then from that, like David said, that the joy of my salvation may return, because he was in unrepentant sin for a good year. And then you ever read the Bible and say, wow, that's wonderful. They went through hell. He killed Uriah, Mary Bathsheba, the child died, and he's just, I'm the king. King David. That's why we call it King David, King David, whatever it was, come back to me. Yeah, what was that? Oh yeah, King David syndrome. It's when somebody thinks that, you know, it's everybody else's fault and they've been a Christian 30 years and they know all about the Bible and it's just, you know, King David syndrome. They think that they're not wrong. They deserve this. But as soon as that person can repent, that's why David said, oh, God, create in me a clean heart. God, create in me a clean heart. I see my sin. Renew a right spirit within me. Oh, God, let the joy of your salvation return. Even my bones that you have broken, Lord, even they will rejoice when I have a right relationship with you. God, nothing can restore me except you, God, and you alone. And I confess and I turn back to you. That's how you get out of that storm. Because they say, right, I'm so broken over this. I just need to spend more time with God. Oh, God, what can we do? Can we pray? Can we fast? No, you rarely hear that. Well, it's not my fault. No, that's not my, that's their problem. That's their problem. I do everything I can do. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. Attitude, stiff-necked, arrogant, self-created storms. If you're in a self-created storm, repent. Repent. Say, God, I'm the problem. That's why I love that communion. I've done a communion message from the New Testament when Jesus said, one of you will betray me. And they all said, Lord, is it I? How honest. How honest. They said, well, that guy said, Lord, is it I? Is it me? That honest and openness. That when you're honest and open, because God knows more about you than you know about you. You are not fooling anyone. God knows the deepest desires of our heart. He knows my motives right now. But when you come to say, Lord, I am truly sorry. I created the storm, or at least participated in it. Amen. Take some responsibility. I'm tired of people in relationship storms who take no responsibility as if the other person did 100% and they have no responsibility in it whatsoever. So let me just encourage you this morning that this isn't meant to, I'm not here to be Debbie Downer, but to encourage you, if there is a storm, difficulties right now, take it to the Lord and ask Him, God, am I causing this storm? Have my choices in the past caused this storm? Because I want out of it. I want to be back in the center of your will. Hard is the way of the transgressor. Listen, you might be caught in sin. A sinful lifestyle, sinful choices. God's word just says, repent. Come back to me. Let me fix this storm. That's what I love. I've been there many times. Don't think I'm preaching at you. I'm preaching to all of us. I've been in that storm. And when you confess it, you repent, you get back on track, the joy that follows. That's why you read about in the Bible. Return to me the joy of your salvation. David cried out. Oh God, return to me the joy of your salvation. I want that joy again. But look at what Hezekiah did. Now, because of this threat, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah. So Isaiah was prophesying during the time of Hezekiah. They prayed and they cried out to heaven. It's a great reminder that your praise must be louder than the storm. You can write that down, you can tweet it, Facebook it, but your praise must be louder than the storm. Now, I'm not talking about coming in here and being loud. Lord, we praise you today. I'm praying. Shane said, if I'm louder. Not volume here, heart engagement here. So the storm is great. My praise is going to be greater. That's why I am, and I've talked to Pastor Abram about this. We are sometimes just shocked. I mean, it's just like, doesn't make any sense if they believe the Bible. They're going through huge storms. Why aren't you here at prayer meetings or worship nights or whatever? Why aren't you praying? Why aren't you continuing? Why aren't you fasting? The answer is right there. Just take of the living water. See, your praise has to be greater than the storm. But what happens, we get in our storm and we get bitter and critical and cynical and negative and Debbie Downer, gossiping. I'm not going to church now. Let me show God. Oh yeah, how's that going to work out for you? Do you know God never negotiates? God never says, you know, it's been a couple months. You're right. Let me give in. He never gives in. It's that drawing of the Holy Spirit will keep convicting and convicting and convicting until you finally say, God, not me, but your will be done. I submit my entire life to you. God, get me back on track. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of being the prodigal son, eating with the pigs. Oh, my father, if I just come back to my father's house, he will take me in. He will give me the fat of calf and throw a party and be excited for me returning to him. We are our worst enemy. We are our own worst enemy. I used to say this a lot, and I guess I've kind of forgotten about it, but the sermon reminded me that I'm not as worried about the devil as I am the devil within. The old man, call a fast for 3 days and let's cry out to God. Nehemiah fasted before he went and repaired the wall of Jerusalem. Ezra said, the king has given us all this provision. We're not going to ask for security now. It'll look like we're not trusting God. Let's fast for security and protection. David fasted and Moses fasted and Jesus fasted. And again, I don't want to overemphasize fasting. And I struggle with that. I want to make sure. And what happens anytime throughout church history, anytime we neglect something, sometimes when we try to bring it back, we overemphasize it. And that clearly is the case with fasting. The church, it was not uncommon to say Wednesday and Sunday prayer and fasting. When people would come to church, they would be fasting, not full on Krispy Kreme and Dunkin' Donuts and a burrito. Even though we serve burritos next door this morning, 8. That's different. That's not a calorie dense burrito, so I guess you're okay. But it's good to fellowship. It's good to have food. It's God, thank God for it. But when it becomes our idol, and we have to have it. How many of you had to have your Christian crack before you got here? It's black, it's in a cup, you know? There's so many things, and sometimes those things, I know it might seem like a joke to some people, but it's true. If something's got you, it's got you, and you gotta have it, and you gotta have it, and you gotta have it before God, that's called idolatry. It's something has me instead of God. Now, some of these things might be light struggles. I'm not over trying to overemphasize things and promote fasting too much, but there is something to that position of starving the fleshly appetites to draw closer to God. So as a result of this, the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, every leader, and every captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. And the king went home defeated. Isn't that amazing? Hezekiah could, actually what he could have done is, I believe what they're in Judah, I believe Israel, the northern kingdom made a covenant. We're going to get into this when we're going through the Bible with Assyria. They wanted to line up with Assyria. Judah did because they saw that Israel had fallen. The northern and southern kingdoms, I'll get to that later. But the whole point of that is they could have tried to maybe do a peace treaty or submitted. Okay, we'll submit to Assyria. We'll give you money. We'll give you taxation and we'll intermingle with your gods. We'll compromise. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And there's many scriptures on this, but they could have did many things, but instead they prayed and they cried out to God. And I believe anytime we pray and cry out to God for something that is true and noble and right from a right heart, that God hears that prayer and wants to honor that. And he said, so what he did, a different portion of the Bible records that 185,000 Assyrians were slayed by the death angel or the spirit of God, whatever this was, that went in and killed 185,000 of their army by crying out to God. Now, though, sometimes God doesn't deliver. That's what I was going to mention here. What God will remove the obstacles, but sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes the army's coming. Sometimes you're going to go through that battle, but he will carry you through. And those are really the options. God's going to remove it, remove the enemy, change the court case, alter the judge's decision, different things, family dynamics, remove the obstacle, or sometimes he's going to take you through. And we always want this one, right? But sometimes it's this one. And as we're going through this one, while he's carrying us through that challenge. So as I'm being beat up by slander or gossip, for example, you can stand strong on who Jesus is, who he says you are. The family dynamics sometimes aren't getting better, they're getting worse. Anyone been there? Local, I mean, not just, but extended family. I better be careful here, I'm going to get in trouble. But things aren't improving, they're getting worse. But you keep, how do you develop patience if you're not tested? Do you ever meet those people with great patience? Hear their story. But I wanted to encourage you this morning, because many times, a lot of times, God doesn't remove the enemy. Doesn't remove that obstacle, the challenge. Sometimes he walks you through it. And there's also a reason so you can be that light in the midst of the darkness. You can be that salt in the midst of something that needs that nutrient. You can be that difference maker. They see how you handle yourself. And you're there to minister to other people. Two scriptures I want to share with you. Job 42:2. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. He's talking about, is that really the time? Wow, I'm halfway through. Maybe you have to come back next weekend. Wow. All right. Make sure to be here next Sunday for the rest of this. I'm kind of joking, but kind of not. So Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. So God is reminding, through the prophet, through Job, reminding us that no plan of God can be thwarted. Listen, some of you need to rest on that. I rest on that sometimes weekly at this church. God, you built this church. What plan can come against that? What enemy is going to destroy that? What government official is going to stop God Almighty? And you remember that what God initiates, he will complete it. He who began a good work and you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Some of you need to repent and get right back on that right track. Some of you just need to hold the line. Some of you need to stop letting fear and anxiety and worry and doubt control your every decision. Start living as if God Almighty sits on the throne, because he still does, the last time I checked. Well, I will come back to a lot of this, but the other example I wanted to give was in the New Testament. We don't need to put up the scriptures right now. Maybe I'll talk about this a little bit more. But the biggest example is the day the devil almost won. Many of us know, correct? That day on the cross. And I was just this week reading in John 14. Can you imagine the disciples? Jesus is saying, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And they're all excited. And then I just kept reading. That was the calm. And then the storm's coming. Here comes Judas with his detachment of troops. And they take Jesus by force. And now the people are looking and saying, now our king has been captured. So they went from calm, this is great, this is the Messiah, going to conquer Rome, to now our king is captured, and he's not doing anything. And they watched the whole process unfold. Can you imagine the disappointment? Here's our king, now he's carrying his cross, beaten, ridiculed, there's spit on him. His beard was pulled out, the thorn. He's carrying this cross. Thank God we see both ends of the storybook here, but not the disciples. The devil has won. All hell was rejoicing, I guarantee. Because Paul says, had they known what they were doing by crucifying the Son of God, they would have never done it. And so now our king has been captured, and then he dies on the cross. And they say, now, our king is defeated. The day the devil almost won. But then, and I highlight it in my Bible, I'm sure some of you do too as well, every time God would say, but, you know, you're reading, you're getting discouraged, and hold on, but, or nevertheless, or even so, or yet, you know, these transition words, But on the third day, so you get he's coming, but do you trust in God's word? Though, you see, you cannot look at what's going on or you will go crazy. You have faith as the evidence of things not seen, the things that are hoped for. And what I'm liking about these difficult times is more people are getting anchored in the word of God. Let me tell you right now that you better either believe what it says is true or forever hold your peace, as they say in wedding vows, right? The word of God is true. It is my guide. I anchor my entire faith on the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so when it says, but on the third day, after the ground shook, after the dead were raised in the graveyard, and after the veil in the temple was rent and ripped open, allowing us to have access to the Father, the day the devil almost won the party in hell, they've got the whole keg of beer lined up, all the drugs and everything. Let's just party. What is going on? But on the third day, the Bible says he conquered sin, hell, death, and the grave, all in one fell swoop. And I've got something very important from Habakkuk, and when you're not seeing fruit in your life, and when there's no reward, and when your provision is dried up, I want to talk about that next week. The day the devil almost won. As a believer, let me tell you this with the authority of God's word. Never give up. Never give up. Oh, the devil has hit me with rights and lefts. I failed, but I will get back up. And I will focus on the Savior. And I will try to improve. I will not go back to the pig's food. But I'm not going to let failure and defeat stop me from following the Christ who gave himself for that failure and defeat. He's telling some of you, get up and fight again. Get up. Yes, I see. I see you're eating with the pigs, prodigal. I see you've made many bad decisions. I know you're not where you want to be. Get back up. Take my hand. Though the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down because the Lord pulls him back up. Now, I'm not giving anyone permission to go and continue sinning. I'm encouraging you to go ahead and grab the hand of God again and get back on the right track. But the sad reality is, and some may be listening or hear, the devil is winning. Unless you make a decision, he will win and have your soul. Unless you repent and believe in the Son of God. That's just the truth. Like I remembered a clip I did. I just saw it the other day on Jethawk Stadium when I was talking about that man who went to mock George Whitefield. I don't know if you remember that. George Whitefield was preaching, oh, the wrath that is to come. The wrath that is to come. And there are tears from it because he's telling people the truth. Turn from it. Turn from it. And this man who went to mock George Whitefield and eventually got converted. He lived a life of misery and debauchery and came back to the Lord. And now we sing that famous hymn, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Lord, here is my heart. Take and seal it in the courts above. That reassurance that God is your Lord and Savior.
He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child. It's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Such a time as this.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground with Pastor Shane Eidelman. You can find more information at westsidechristianfellowship.org. That's westsidechristianfellowship.org. Please be sure to follow us on most social media platforms. Westside Christian Fellowship is located 60 miles north of Los Angeles in Leona Valley, California. Thank you again for listening to today's message of Regaining Lost Ground, where we are reminded daily, times change, truth does not. Regaining Lost Ground is sponsored by the generous supporters of the ministries of Westside Christian Fellowship.